Anthony Sanfilippo, reporter for the Flyers, joins us once again. Anthony, do you remember the last time? Have the Flyers ever played a Game 7 having played Game 6 the night before?
Yeah, Washington, 2008.
Okay.
And they went ahead and won that Game 7 in Washington in overtime, Joffrey Lupul scoring the game winner.
And who won Game 6?
Washington won Game 6.
Okay.
The Flyers were up 3-1 in that series, and then Washington came back, and then the Flyers won Game 7 down there.
Yeah. You know, the previous six games really don't have much once Game 7 actually starts. But the Rangers, you look at history, they've never lost a Game 7 on home ice. They're 5-0. Of course, they're 1-5 on the road. It seems for whatever reason, not always, but Game 7 for the home team, they usually have a distinct advantage, more so than they would in earlier games in the series. And I don't even know why. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know, you would think that, you know, you always hear the saying that, hey, you play for home ice advantage because you want Game 7 at home. I mean, that's, you know, teams always say that. And so I guess maybe there's, you know, something about playing on in front of your home crowd that kind of makes it a little bit more, you know, gives you the right energy and gives you the right approach to playing the game. You talk to some people and they'll sit there and say, hey, you know what? We got to go into their building. All the pressure's on them. You know, we could just be a little bit more loose and play our game and see what happens. So it's really kind of interesting that there are three Game 7s tonight. And I look at each of these three games, and you know, obviously we're going to talk about the Flyers and Rangers, but I look at these three games, and I can make a very valid argument for all three road teams winning just as easily as I can make a very valid argument for all three home teams winning. So, I don't put much stock into it, but I guess it's just one of those things that it happens more often than not.
Looking at this series, Rick Nash, who I've said for a long time, is not a – you know what? He plays in the Olympics, and he'll be all right. But he has no goal. I think he's got no goals in his last 22 playoff games or one goal in his last 22 playoff game. He's really been invisible. Have the Flyers done something to take him out of this series, or is Rick Nash not doing enough for his team?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Craig Berube has really done his best to have the Sean Couturier line out there when Nash is on the ice, as well as the defensive pair of Braden Coburn and Kimmo Tiininen. More often than not, those guys, even home and away, are out there at the same time that Nash is out there with Stepan and San Luis. And even really, when you look at that whole line, I know it's kind of interesting. They actually have some points in this series, a good number of them coming on power play early. They really haven't taken over the series in any way, and that's the top line there in New York. And you would kind of think that, you know, if people were going to be scoring, it would be those guys. The Rangers' offense has really come from further down the lineup, which is really kind of, you know, the reason why the series is where it is. I mean, I think the Flyers have done a nice job on their top line, and almost as well of a job as the Rangers have done against the Flyers' top line here in this series. It's just been a battle of depth players until last night, of course, Wayne Simmonds with the hat trick. But should they be able to do more? I think so. Just like I think the guys on the Flyers' top line should be doing more. Your Claude Giroux and your Voracek's, and I mean, they took Hartnell off the top line yesterday, but he wasn't doing a lot either. So it's really kind of a weird series in that event. And here we are in Game 7, and none of the top players on either team have really broken out and done anything.
Anthony Sanfilippo joins us, and which makes you wonder, will it be that guy tonight? You had mentioned Joffrey Lupul, the overtime hero against Washington a few years ago in the playoffs. You know, it's virtually impossible to predict which guy is going to step up and play. Like Gustafsson last night. He comes in to the game, takes a penalty, comes out of the penalty box, scores on a breakaway. I don't care. Anybody would have bet he, A, gets a breakaway, and then, B, scores on it. That's what's so great about these playoffs. There's always, it seems, one game the one player is kind of coming out of nowhere and having a big impact in the game.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, that's the beauty of the NHL playoffs is that it could be anybody at any time. If I had to look at this game tonight, I mean, we could sit here and we could throw any number of names against the wall and come up with a reason why that player specifically could have an impact on the game. But I think ultimately this one's going to come down to the goalies. You know, Mason's looked really good since he's been back. Even in the one loss, he was pretty good. It was sensational in the two flyer wins that he's played. And Lundqvist, I think, has a little bit of something to prove because he hasn't been Henrik Lundqvist really in this series. The games the Rangers have won, that he really hasn't been tested. And the games that the Flyers have won, he hasn't looked great. So I think that this one's going to come down to, you know, the goaltending a little bit. And, you know, on paper, Henrik Lundqvist should be the guy that wins out in that matchup. But the way Mason's played so far in his three starts, he's outplayed Lundqvist. So the question is, can he do it one more time and help the Flyers get through? Or does Lundqvist finally have his big game and gets the Rangers through to the next round?
Are you surprised at Steve Mason's play? You know, you look like this guy at the start of the year, even like the end of last year, people thought, man, his career is over. He just was the next Jim Carrey, had kind of lost it. That has to be one of the best turnaround stories in the NHL.
Yeah, it's been a really good story. I mean, you know, I think that the way he was playing at the beginning of the season was way over, you know, his head a little bit. I mean, he was playing great. Don't get me wrong. He's a very quick goalie. Side to side, and he's got a good glove, even though teams tend to shoot to his glove side. It kind of surprises me a little bit because he actually has a good glove. Maybe that was part of the problem in Columbus, but since he's been in Philly, I mean, he's been pretty sharp on the glove side. Yet teams keep shooting there. But his numbers were ridiculous. I mean, they were really good. And you looked at it and said, there's no way he's going to be able to maintain this pace all season. And it turned out that he couldn't. And he kind of fell back to where he is, which is about a 2.5 per goal per game guy. You know, he's going to give you a save percentage around 917, 918. He's a good goalie. He's not an elite goalie. He's not a bad goalie. He's a good goalie. He's where most teams are in this league with goaltending. So I'm not completely surprised at that. I think what I'm surprised at in is the fact that he's been able to come into Philadelphia, where we've had such a history of goaltending issues, and deal with the spotlight and the media pressure that is put onto a goalie, and be able to put up the consistent numbers and not really have any struggles with dealing with that stuff. I think that's been the most impressive thing. And I think going forward, as long as he can continue to be at this level and on this pace, he'll do just fine here.
You know, you look, Claude Giroux has a point average, six in the six games. Simmons now, of course, leads their team with four goals. You look at a guy like Vinny LeCavalier. How's he played this series?
Not well. It's a shame because he has shifts where he's out there and he looks good. And then he has shifts when he's out there and he looks terrible. And then he ends up sitting on the bench for a while because the way Craig Berube's using him, he's only getting about 10 minutes a game, sometimes even less than that. He's now back on. I mean, he was on the second line for much of the series. He's now back as your fourth line center. So you hope that you're getting him in a better matchup. But the Rangers' fourth line has played very well in this series. So it's been just, you know, here and there. He does have the one goal on the power play. I think he has an assist or two. When he's on the ice, so he's always capable of providing offense. It's just that his play hasn't been consistent enough to warrant being out there on a more regular basis. And you know, Craig Berube says, hey, look, we're no egos at this point. It doesn't matter that you're a $5 million a year player. You're going to play fourth line center, and you may only play 10 minutes, but that's how we're going to use you for now.
Anthony Sanfilippo joins us talking Flyers and the Rangers. Who's been the unheralded player for the Flyers so far in this series?
Well, I think it's two guys. I think it's Sean Couturier and Matt Reed. I put the two of them together because they play together on the same line, and they are defense first players as forwards. They're really good two-way guys. I think Couturier is on the cusp of becoming one of the elite two-way forwards in the NHL. I know he garnered some votes this year for the Selke. Obviously wasn't one of the three finalists, but his name has already started to arise about the same time that Patrice Bergeron's name started to come into play in his career. In his third season, that's when people started to recognize him in that regard. And I think Couturier is starting to get that recognition now. I really wouldn't be surprised if by next year or 2 years from now, he is a Selke finalist. He's that good defensively. And Matt Reed as his partner is a really solid two-way guy with speed who can finish. He's always going to be a 20 to 25 goal a year guy. He's got a really good wrist shot, got some speed, not afraid to be physical. I think as a duo, again, playing against the top line, they're the top pair forwards on the penalty kill, which has killed off 20 straight Rangers power plays. I think that those two have been unheralded. They, you know, Reed's got the one goal, which is okay, but I think that more than anything, if you ask Craig Berube, these are the guys that are playing 20, 21 minutes a night for him because they're that valuable. And I think that, you know, if you look inside or away from the numbers and who's really contributing, I think Katori and Reed have made a major difference in the first six games.
Yeah, you look at the power plays. The Rangers are 3 for 28. Meanwhile, Philly's power play is second best in the playoffs right now, 6 of 19. You know, does this one come down to special teams, or why are the Flyers' power play being so good, and what have the Rangers done so bad?
You know, it's funny, Jay, because prior to last game, all we heard here was the Flyers' power play is not good. They're not getting shots. It's terrible. It's this and that. It was still ranked in the top five, and then they went up to number two after yesterday's game. They're getting their chance. They're a good team. And the problem was that the Rangers were doing a nice job of blocking a lot of their shots and frustrating them. But the Flyers have now kind of sort of, last couple of games, figured out ways to keep the power play moving, which makes the Rangers' penalty kill move a lot more, and they can't just sit in front of the goal and block shots. So when you get them moving, it opens up some passing lanes and some shooting lanes, and then the Flyers have two big guys who can get around the net and get the loose pucks, and Simmons and Hartnell, and, you know, they both do a good job of that, and I think that that makes a difference. As far as the other side, I don't know what's wrong with the Rangers' power play. It should be so much better. I mean, they had the two quick goals in Game 1 off the Jason Atkinson double minor. That was the difference in the game in Game 1, really, and really haven't done much since with that power play. And the Flyers have just really shut it down by being aggressive on them. They're really pressuring the puck at the point and along the half wall, forcing the Rangers to make passes and plays that they don't really want to make, and they're not really getting set up. And I think that this is what we were just talking about with Couturier and Reed, and then even the second group of forwards that comes out, like two more unheralded guys, and Adam Hall, who's an NHL veteran, and Michael Raffel, a rookie that the Flyers signed, the Austrian out of the second-tier league in Sweden. I think those two guys have done a real nice job as the second unit on the PK. So those four forwards, very aggressive at the top of the PK, and the Rangers haven't been able to solve it.
Who are you picking?
Well, you know, I have to stick with the Flyers because I picked them at the beginning, and I can't change my picks no matter what. I picked them in six. Obviously, that didn't happen. We are going to Game 7. I just think, and I'm a little bit more confident in it today than I think I was going into yesterday's game, because the Flyers played at another level yesterday. But the Rangers have been at the same level all six games, and the Flyers have been just maybe slightly below it in three of the first five. And you're like, well, yeah, they got to get it to another level. Last night, they brought it to that next level. They were really good, really strong. They dictated the tempo of the game, dictated possession, played well, and then when they made mistakes, Mason covered up for them. I think that they're, with the fact that they're playing 24 hours later and there's not a lot of time off in between, this is the first time where I think momentum can carry over. I think I'm liking the Flyers a little bit more now than maybe I did prior to yesterday's game.
And quickly, who are you picking in the West two game sevens tonight?
It's crazy. And I'm going to stick with what I went with at the very beginning of the round. I published my picks online, and I'm 5 for 5. My three that are left, I had Philly, I had LA, which would be an amazing comeback. I didn't see it this way, and I had Minnesota pulling the upset over Colorado. And I just really like the way the Wild's been playing. I think that they will win Game 7. The other two, I'm a little bit more 50-50, but I think Minnesota's going to pull that one out and pull off the upset.
Anthony, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the game. Should be an awesome atmosphere at MSG tonight.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon, Jay.